this in here.
There's somebody here that needs healing in your life. You've been torn, wounded, and broken. Nothing seen, the mend is plight. Pray out and trust that that miracle can happen to me. But I've learned to trust in God.
KAYT, Gina, Alexandria.
This is Gospel Radio at its very best. 88.1. KAYT. Praising the Lord.
Greetings in the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. You've just tuned in to the media ministry of New Zion Missionary Baptist Church of Winfield, Louisiana, pastored by Reverend Tramiel Ham. The Lord says in His Word that in 2 Timothy, preach the Word, be instant, in season and out of season. Listen now as our pastor preaches and teaches an in-season Word.
The book of Romans, chapter number 14, New Testament passage of Scripture. We ask that those who are physically able to stand with us for the reading of God's Word. The book of Romans, chapter number 14. Somewhat of a continuation or a B part from last week's word of grow up. And so today we look at those who have grown up and look at some things as it pertains to our walk with God. Amen. Amen. Who can be honest and say that we need help?
Yes, sir.
Amen. That we need the Lord to help us on this journey.
Yes,
glory to God. If you are a finished product, I don't know what kind of Christian you are. Amen. Amen. The book of Romans, chapter number 14, commence reading at verse number 13. And a few of the following verses I'll be reading from the New Living Translation of God's Word, but it's God's Word just the same. Amen. I'll be using this for preaching reference, but it's still God's Word. Romans chapter 14, commence reading at verse number 13. Are we there? And we find written in God's Word. So let's stop condemning each other. Decide instead to live in such a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. I know and am convinced on the authority of the Lord Jesus that no food in and of itself is wrong to eat. But if someone believes it is wrong, then for that person, it's wrong. And if another believer is distressed by what you eat, you're not acting in love if you eat it. Don't let your eating ruin someone for whom Christ died. Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. If you serve Christ with this attitude, you will please God, and others will approve of you too. So then, let us aim or pursue for harmony in the church and try to build each other up, edify. Don't tear apart the work of God over what you eat. Remember, all foods are acceptable, but it is wrong to eat something if it makes another person stumble. It is better not to eat meat or drink wine or do anything else if it might cause another believer to stumble. You may believe there's nothing wrong with what you're doing, but keep it between yourself and God. Blessed are those who don't feel guilty for doing something they have decided or reason within themselves is right. But if you have doubts about whether or not you should eat something, you are sinning if you go ahead and do it. I better stop right there. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Blessed are those who read here and apply His holy word. For the time that is ours together today, beloved of God, I want to tag this text, Handle with Care. I want to discuss that with you today, Handle with Care. All of us have seen, if we've received any type of packages through the mail or through any other type of medium, you'll notice sometimes in certain boxes it'll say fragile on the outside, or it'll say handle with care on the outside. And we understand that it's not about the box being fragile. It's what's on the inside that is fragile. The box can withstand being dropped. The box can withstand being handled in a rough way. But that which is inside of the box is so fragile. It is so easily to be broken that if you do some damage to the box, you're also going to do damage to the contents in the box. Oh, brothers and sisters, that is the way our lives are, our souls are. We have to be very careful today, brothers and sisters, about the damage that we do to ourselves and the damage that we do to one another. Just because we have a tough exterior does not mean that we're not soft on the inside. Just because someone appears to be strong on the outside does not mean that they're not fragile and breakable on the inside. Do you know today that many people cry, they just don't let you know they cry? Many people hurt. They may not let you know they hurt, but they hurt every day of their lives. And oftentimes, brothers and sisters, if we would just handle the box right, we would have to worry about breaking the contents. Imagine the disappointment of opening up a box and seeing something broken, not because of how it was mailed, but because how it was handled once it got in our hands. You have clear warning to the box not to drop it. Don't treat it any kind of way. Be careful with it. Take care to it. But because we see an insignificant box, because all we see is cardboard, because all we see is just a little insignificant figure, we sometimes forget about what's on the inside. And everything that's on the inside is affected by how we treat the outside. Come here. May I suggest to you today that how we treat our soul is going to manifest how we treat our body. How we treat each other, spirit and minds and understanding and hearts and feelings, is going to manifest into this tough exterior that you see. I believe today that I'm in the presence of people who have been dropped. When they were saved, when we were saved, we had fragile on our body. We had handled with care on our body. But because people just saw me, because people just saw you, because people just thought you would just get it, because you're supposed to be a man, because you're supposed to be a woman, people mishandled you. The church didn't treat you right. Life didn't treat you right. And you got dropped, and now you broke up on the inside, and you're now working on the box being better, but the inside is still shattered. Because we have not handled each other with care. Brothers and sisters, I'm concerned today. I don't know about you, but I'm concerned about Christians not having any care or compassion for anybody else. I'm concerned that we're in a day and age that we can be unapologetically mean and rude and cutthroat to each other and think God is pleased with our behavior and how we treat each other. I'm concerned when we treat worldly folks better than we treat our own people. I'm concerned when we don't love our brother and sister in Christ, but I love the one that's trying to kill my children. I'm concerned that I can't come to get over myself. I can't get over my feelings and lift God with somebody who may have stepped on my foot 10 years ago, and I can't let it go, and I'll tear church up. I'll tear ministry up. I'll condemn your name. I'll scandalize your name. I'll set up your children. I'll set up your husband just to make you look bad. I'm concerned that we've lost the ability to handle each other with care. And the fact of the matter is, ladies and gentlemen, that we're not so much doing damage to the outside. It's that what's on the inside is being broken and damaged. And may I suggest to you today that what's on the inside is normally more valuable than the box. Don't you get confused about the box. Just because the box looks good don't mean that what's on the inside of the box looks good. It's some stuff you got to give an account for. Just because the box ain't say what you did didn't mean you got to give an account for what you did, because the box just found a way to make it. The box found a way to take a lick and keep on ticking. But you got to give an account for how you treated that box, because you destroyed not just the box, but you destroyed the content. And God ain't gonna keep letting you and I tear people up and condemn you. Each other and cut each other and assassinate each other and critique each other and hate each other and think it's going to be all right. Because you got a box and you don't want nobody to drop you. You protect what's valuable on the inside of you, but why can't somebody else be protective about what's on the inside of them? May I suggest that the church has now grown to be the most untrusting, coldest, meanest place, institution on this side of glory. We are the only institution that hurts its wounded. AAA, AA, whoever, they got somebody who will listen to why they drink. Drugs Anonymous, they got somebody who will listen and care about why they own drugs. But the church who has the word of God, who has the presence of God, we don't have enough patience, we don't have enough love, we don't have enough concern until it hits my home. We are the only institution that beats down the folk who are wounded. As though you've forgotten what it's like to be dropped. How can people who've been picked up now drop others? Somebody had to pick you up and rebandage you. How can you now not have enough tolerance to help somebody else be repaired? We're the only institution in the world that beats down the beat down. Only institution. And it does not begin with us. It begins in the text today, even in the book of Romans. In Romans, this new converted body of believers that Paul has given doctrinal help and evidence for the glory of God about the salvation that comes through the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And instead of the people at Rome, the church at Rome, focusing on how good God has been and how God has restored and changed them, they start arguing over stuff that does not matter. God has given them faith and they judged each other behind food. God has given them eternal life and they're arguing each other over principalities. Over who can vote for this and who can vote for that. Can you tell me this? Can you tell me that? God's been that good, but we've been that bad. Yeah, the church in Rome, they're arguing. There's so much dismay. There's a lot of division behind what's legal and what's illegal. Our country today is concerned about what's legal and what's illegal. We're concerned, we're in a culture now, we're in a country where all of us, except for Native Americans, are immigrants. But we want to get rid of some Mexican, we want to get rid of a Hispanic, and we snuck over here too. And the fact of the matter is, we didn't even ask to come over here, we were forced to come over here, and some of these Anglo-Saxon Europeans, they came and established land, territory that was already claimed by the Native Americans, but because we think we have superiority, we worry about what's legal and what's not legal. And there's argument. And now here's somebody who snuck over trying to stop other people from coming over. People who snuck over trying to stop other people from simply coming over. Got the nerve to build a wall. There's a spiritual principle to that because we want to keep stuff out instead of bringing stuff in. And he who builds a fence around himself, he's fencing out more than he's fencing in. You are preparing for your own destruction when you keep putting people out. Because who are we to say what God won't give somebody? But the church at Rome, as with us today, we're in division. We're arguing. And now, unfortunately, brothers and sisters, there's a mixture. Can the church say mixture? There's a mixture this morning, even in this sanctuary, between strong Christians and weak Christians. Between new Christians and old Christians. Lord, help me down. It's folks who've been with the Lord a long time and folks who just met him yesterday. And unfortunately, the ones who've been with God, the ones who know God, don't have enough tolerance and love to kind of understand where the new Christians are coming from. And now the new Christians, they're confused about God. They're confused about his word. They're confused about his way because of the way these old Christians act. Because these old Christians live on this message of not do as I do as I say. I'm not responsible to love, but you're supposed to love anyway. I'm not responsible to give, but you're supposed to give. I'm not responsible to love my neighbor, but you should love your neighbor. I don't have to follow the Bible, but I'm going to teach you to follow the Bible. I don't have to love my husband, but I'm going to make you love your husband. I ain't got to do right, but I'm going to make sure you do right. And now we're confusing folks. I wish I had some new saints, somebody who ain't been with the Lord for 10 years, maybe 10 years, to tell me and lift your hand, and I got your back. Your pastor got your back today. I need some folk who've been with the Lord about 10 years and under to just lift your hand and say, I'm confused by what I see and by what I read. Why people ain't come to church? Because they don't know what they're coming to. Why we can't get the men? Because we're mismanaging and misrepresenting what this word of God and what the kingdom of God even stands for. We standing up and saying that drinking should be in moderation. But the deacon at the club getting drunker than everybody else, that's confusing. The church stands for this, but the people in the church sit down for that. It's confusing to somebody who don't know God.
They ain't been with God. See, some of us been with God long enough to know just ignore them and know God for yourself and just walk with God for yourself. But some young Christians looking to you and I for some guidance. They looking to us for a light. And I wonder today, do you even consider where you leading folk? The reality of it is, ladies and gentlemen, is that you do what you do because you can. See, this is a faith-based institution. But nobody puts a gun to your head and make you do anything. Am I preaching good yet? We are here because ultimately we choose to be. You came and took a preacher's hand because you chose to. You can say something got a hold on you. You can say you felt something in your feet and your hands, but the actuality of it is you chose to come to Jesus. But now you don't want Jesus to choose you. We want God to be accountable to us, but don't want to be accountable to God. God, give me what I need, but ignore what I'm doing. And some of us are confused, some younger saints. I ain't talking about you old warriors. I'm talking about younger saints who are confused because they hear a word about love. They hear a word about salvation and it should be a new creature. They see it ought to be a freshness. They hearing it. But when they look around, they're folk who's supposed to have it. You want me to lead a club. But the choir members that is up here telling me about it was in the club with me. So what's the point of leaving the club if I'm going to end up in the choir? Because there is no line of demarcation. And what I mean is there's nothing that separates the good from the bad, the righteous from the unrighteous. Now everybody's trying to be accepted. Everybody's trying to be liked. So now the world can't tell who is who. Least we could do is handle people with some care. God's word to us today, it be considerate about the life you're living. And know that just as the songwriter says, you'll always feel like somebody's watching you. If you didn't want people to watch you, you shouldn't have got God's light. Because God's light attracts attention. You can't just turn that on and off like it's some kind of bulb or some kind of switch. But when I get called to the carpet about what I'm doing, now you're supposed to respect me as real. You're supposed to respect me churchy, but I ain't got to live churchy. Because all of us have choices. And we've got to be willing to live with the consequences of the choices we make. All God is saying to us today is make sure you charge the consequences worthily. Don't get mad at me, God says, for what you put in motion. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatsoever a man soweth, that right there is what he's going to reap. Lord, have mercy. So he says to us today, in handling with care, and dealing with this, we see a couple of the problems in Rome. I wouldn't dare, you know, bore you with all that, but I just kind of brought that to see how we are. It's so much division about what you can and can't do. That's all I'm trying to get you to see. There's so much stuff about what you can eat, what you can't eat. All right? And now, church folk who been with the Lord, don't want to live right, but they want to be looked at right. And then when some new saint come in, they supposed to just fall in line and do what I say do. And now they come into the church, these new saints come into the church in Rome. I ain't talking about here. I'm talking about in Rome. They come into the church in Rome and they say, wait a minute now. I'm wrong because I don't eat meat? Or should I eat meat? Because some of them eat meat, others don't eat meat. Some of them drinking wine, others ain't drinking wine. Some of them eating just herbs, they ain't eating no meat. Some of them pray standing up, some of them pray kneeling. What are you supposed to do? And then because when you come into the building, these Pharisaic spirits try to make you do what they do. But don't want you to be like they are. If I had time. They do what many of us church folk do. This might be tweetable. You start majoring in the minor. You put more emphasis on stuff that don't even matter. Because you don't want to deal with what really matters. I want to emphasize what you're wearing because I want you to see my heart. See, if I can disqualify this young man behind his tattoo, he won't realize I ain't got no testimony. I need somebody who will help me preach just for a minute. That one of the worst feelings in your life, growing into ministry, growing in God, and growing in fellowship, is finding out that people you thought knew don't know nothing. But you thought they knew by they keep showing up and they keep telling you stuff. And because they in the church, you just assume that they knew. And then you messed around and read the word for yourself and said, that ain't right. What they saying ain't lining up with what this say. And then when you start talking to them, asking them about it, they want to call you a heretic. And they want to put you out. You're a troublemaker. You're disrespectful. You're a witch. You're a warlock. Because you ain't want to wear white. Well, where in the Bible do I have to wear white? I'm just asking you, why do I have to? Because it's just cause. And then they reading the word and say, before you put on that white suit, you should have had a white heart. What we going to do about the black hearts with white suits? And nobody can come up with an answer for what we do about the white suits and the black hearts. They want you to pray, but they never pray. Jesus, oh, y'all quiet now. Jesus, in the book of Matthew, gave them not the Lord's Prayer, but he gave them a model. He said, afterwards, pray in this manner. In other words, he prayed and kind of gave them an outline for how to pray. But they couldn't say they ain't never seen Jesus pray. I'm not following nobody I ain't never heard and seen pray. But you expect me to do something you won't do. Go on up there. Go on. You come up here with me. All right, I'm finna move through it. When you handle with care, here's what you gotta understand. Number one, you've got to realize that your liberties are limited. I'm in the Bible. Your liberties are limited. You live in the United States of America. And legally, you're under democracy. Democracy. It is the will of the people. You vote. You put in who you want, who you desire for certain offices. You have a representative government. You put who you select. Nobody makes you do pretty much anything. All you got to do is stay your color and pay taxes. That's pretty much all you got to do. Okay? Other than that, you choose pretty much everything else in your life. Now, and we have symbols of it. The flag. On the East Coast, it's been suggested this, and I agree with it. On the East Coast, you got the Statue of Liberty. Lady Liberty, because she represents what we're able to do. Because we're free, we got liberty. We can do what we want to do in America. It's the land of opportunity, they say. And in the West, on the East Coast, they got Lady Liberty. And I believe, just like some theologians say, on the West Coast, you ought to have Lady Responsibility. Now I want to help me preach. On one coast, you got what you're able to do, but if you don't have a wise wisdom spirit, you don't have on the west coast of your responsibility. Because to every liberty, there should be some responsibility. You just can't do everything come in your head to do when you got some responsibility. We gotta have some balance in our lives. There are limitations on every freedom you have. Amen. You do have freedom of speech, but you ought to have enough sense not to say everything on your mind. Yes, you can't just say everything. And then want to get in front of people and say, well, I got freedom of speech, First Amendment. And wonder why you get the first whooping. It's because you shouldn't have said what you said. And when you understand your responsibilities and the limitations on that, you will now abuse your liberty. I need some children here who've been had their parents and grandparents abuse their liberty on you. I know it's Mother's Day, and we celebrate Mama, but Mama did some stuff sometime I didn't understand. Just because she could. Come here, boy. Ma'am, bring me that remote control. You mean that remote control is right there next to you? Yeah, bring it to me. But Mama, if you just reach your arm out, you can get that remote control. I ain't got to do to go reach out. You my child, I'm the mama, give me the remote control. Mama did that not because God told her. Mama did that because she could. And a lot of y'all in here today, that's why y'all won't look at me now. Y'all make your children and grandchildren do stuff just because you can. Abuse those liberties. Because I have the ability and liberty to tell them, I can't boss your house, but I can boss mine. What's wrong with the church? Here's one of the problems in the African-American church, why people have a power struggle. Because civil rights and pre-civil rights, we had in the world, in corporate America, men especially, had no say-so. He was three-fifths of a man, if anything. He had no say-so in his insurance, no say-so in his pay, didn't have any promotion on the job. The only place he was somebody was in the church. That's the only place he was respected, was in the church. Only place where he was looked at as an idol, he was idolized, was in the church. Deacon such and such, Reverend such and such. It was honor. It built up his ego and his esteem. And now when you grow in God and realize that he don't run everything, it's hard to let that go. Because I like being in control. And I'm talking to people today, the reason why you're swallowing gnats, gagging on gnats, and trying to swallow a camel is because you want control. Because you hate playing by other people's rules. And when somebody give you an inch, you take a yard. God knows we can't handle every liberty. That's why he gives us limitations. So now you are free to love everybody, but you don't have to love everybody. You want to hear something insulting? Somebody tell you they love you because they got to. I'm a Christian. That's not love. That's you trying to meet some kind of obligation. I want you to choose to love me. I don't want you saying nothing because you're doing God a favor and doing me a favor. You ought to choose to love. But now, here it is. We have liberty to love, but we're choosing to hate. Why? Because you can. That's the problem with the church. Because you got people who really hate others, but they say they love. Because here it is. The younger Christian, the weaker Christian, has a problem with knowledge. But the stronger Christian has a problem with love. That's it. That's what's wrong. That's what's wrong with New Zion, anywhere else. Weaker Christians don't know what to do, but they do love God because they just got in it. Older Christians and stronger Christians don't have love, but they got knowledge. That's a dangerous combination. Because very seldom do we give any younger person or weaker Christian the truth in love. We give them our opinion with no patience whatsoever. Why? Because I got it. You got to get it. We believe it's called tough love. That's called rough love. It ain't enough love. Y'all mad now, ain't you? You want to beat her down by what she got on, but you'll never go talk to her about what's going on in her heart and what's going on in her thinking. Some young woman who just came from the world doesn't have the knowledge to know how to adorn herself. But you sisters who've been there, done that, tried to put it on, couldn't wear it, in the closet, you can now teach her and show her, baby, this is how you ought to do that. No, but when you don't have love, you sit and criticize. Look at her. Look at her. It's a shame. Good evening. Listen, y'all, it's like a mother, and it's like a little child who's afraid that there's monsters in the closet. The parent knows there's no monster in the closet, but that child's not going to know it the same way the parent does. So the parent's going to take some time and show that child and show some proof and be with them. See, there's nothing in the closet. I'm going to go to the closet with you, and you and I together go see there's no monster in the closet. I'm not even going to tell you, go to bed. Don't bother me. If he gets you, he gets you. You ought not been bad. Y'all ain't hearing God. There are too many of y'all. Here's my concern. There are too many people who hadn't been with God that long who are being lost and left out and pushed away because those of us who know God won't extend love and won't help them grow in God. Because we expect them just to get it. Put on your church clothes. Be here at 11, do what I do. And they're out here living lives, y'all, that's contrary. And most of us don't even care. But there are limitations to your liberty. There's limitations. Look what the Bible says. I'm in verse number 16. Be out your way. He says... No, 13. Let's stop condemning each other. Decide to live in a way that you will not cause another believer to stumble and fall. Or King James said to find an occasion to fall. This is the Greek word skandalon. This is where we get the word scandal from. Because it means to cause them a trap, to fall into some type of trap. You and I, don't. It's good for us. You may think that drinking ain't gonna bother you because you're grown enough to buy it. But what if some weaker Christian sees you drinking? What now happens to their faith? Because they looking to you as a testimony because they sitting up in church with you, they seeing you shouting, they seeing with your hands up, now they see your hands with a bottle. They saw your hand with a Bible Sunday, but Saturday night they saw it with a bottle. I'm just trying to help you. And now, according to Paul, according to God's word, that can cause a scandal. It don't bother you because you're mature enough to say, enough is enough. I got some limitations to it, but somebody's watching you. And now they're going to feel like, well, all Christians can do that. Because you ain't telling them about moderation. All they see is the bottle, and they say, it's good for them, it's good for me too. That's why you ought to have some limitations to this liberty. Because somebody's watching and everybody's not as strong in the faith as you are. That means you got to consider other people when you're out here turning up, getting lit. Lord, why you gave me this message today? You got to consider that somebody else is watching that. And they are looking at you because you always talking about God. Speaking in tongues. So then they see something contrary. You got to be able to give an account for why they saw that. And they got a right to sometime come ask you, is it okay to do that and be a Christian? What you going to tell them then? But see, so many of us are trying to prove and have balance in our lives and prove that we can turn up the way we tear up. We're trying to prove a point to these worldly people that I'm the same OG. And I'm still fun-loving. I'm still a party animal. That's fine to prove a point to them, but what about these other folk who are looking at your testimony? Who've been watching you? It can cause them to fall into a trap. You saw the trap. They didn't. You don't know that somebody's watching you struggles with that. You may not struggle with alcoholism, but some young man who's just coming in does struggle with it. And if he sees you, deacon, reverend, bishop, apostle, he see you drinking like that, he gonna feel like, well, good, the monkey off my back. I can go and drink now. But it won't do the same damage to you as it will to him. See, this is grown folks talk. This grown saints talk. This ain't about you getting money. This is about our responsibility to live a life of integrity in this world. That's being a true Christian, representing Jesus the best I can. There's going to be a limit to your liberties. Secondly, you got to recognize that your life is going to be looked at. Your life, our life, is going to be looked at. Quiet in the church now. Somebody, here it is. Some folk ain't looking at your car. They're not looking at your house. Not looking at your job. They looking at your life. They looking to see, is your faith lining up with your mouth? It's the same lady I saw shout Sunday, but she appeared at the post office cutting up Monday. It's the same brother who told us to have faith and pray when stuff don't go right. But then Tuesday evening, the boss told him what to do. He cussed the boss out. But you getting mad when they look at your life. That's why we're trying to emphasize stuff, and here's what you wasting your time. Because the stuff we think people looking at, they're not looking at. We putting stuff out there that we look at. But that don't mean that folks are looking at that. You think people looking at how you, your dress, weave, and all that stuff. Anybody looking at that? They looking at how you talk to people. How you carry yourself in adversity. And you know what they're finding out? That Christians don't have a lot of character. We're the worst stewards in the world. We're the worst at paying bills. The worst at being at work on time. We're the worst at doing our job. We want to prophesy instead of punching in them numbers in their computer. Your job description is putting numbers in the computer, not prophesying. Y'all laughing. But people are watching our lives. And I want to make you aware that people are watching how you respond. Listen, listen. They'll do stuff to your children.
Amen.
Or allow stuff to happen to your children to see how you're going to respond. Yes. Are you going to be holy or be hellish? Miss Jesus Jr., Miss Holy Roller, I'm going to let your child not get on the team. I'm going to let your grandbaby not. I'm going to kick her off the T-ball. You want to see Christians act a fool? Go out there to Dixie Youth. Go watch these folks shouting and praising God. Watch an umpire call their baby out. I ain't talking about call them the N-word. I ain't talking about cuss them. I'm talking about say out. And watch what that this holy roller do. At a T-ball, wee ball, yee ball game. I'm not telling y'all what I'm thinking. I'm telling you what I know. Very few of us have the proper response when we feel like we've been offended or feel like our children have been. You can come for me, but don't come for my babies. That's fine. I understand it. But be mindful that people go watch how you do that. So if you go up there with a knife, nobody's going to come hear you preach. They're not going to hear you preach about no peace, and you went out there with a knife. Listen to me at Bible study, but my child ain't got to listen at school. But you know why? You know why we do that stuff? Because we can. Because most of us live our lives based off opinions, not doctrine. We will even tell God, God, I know what your words say, but. Forgive me, Lord, for what I'm about to go do. But I got to go and get them on this one. God understand, he's my children. That's my husband. That's my wife. And then wonder why people don't accept you or receive you because you handling stuff just as worldly as everybody else. Amen. Who's going to be the difference maker in our community? Amen. Who's going to do it a different way? Amen. Who's going to be the difference to show light in the midst of darkness? Yes, I'm preaching good now because y'all mad as hell. God does not say, okay, follow my rule, love everybody, live in peace, except for when you are offended. That's when you really supposed to show God's love, when you've been offended. That's good, ain't it? That tastes good, don't it? Some of y'all don't eat Mother's Day dinner right there. You eating good right now. You don't need no dressing. You don't need no rice and gravy. You getting God's word. Your liberties, all this stuff you can do, have enough sense to know you got some limits to it. Look what he says. Turn with me to verse 16. Y'all there? Then you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. Because if you line up what you say by how you serve, now you ain't got to worry about people lying on you because it's going to be a lie. If you got to keep chasing a rumor, it must be true. Because you can't stop folk. Here's your shout. You can pray all you want. You can't stop folk from lying on you. I need an experienced saint who can help me testify. You can't stop folk from lying. That's why they're called liars. Liars can't ever tell the truth, so why you keep listening to a liar? Let them be who they are. Fish swim, liars lie. You sitting there trying to check them, and then they lie about what they lied on. Tell me the truth. They can't tell you the truth. They're a liar. Stop asking lies. You want to be free today? Stop asking a liar to tell you the truth. Be honest with me. Tell me the truth. They a liar. What else can they do but lie? Somebody getting free today. Now I done made some liar mad. Dang, he done told my secret. Cause the number one thing a liar gonna say, I ain't lying. I put that on a stack of Bibles. It's still going to be a stack of Bibles, and you lying. I put that on my grandma's grave. That grave's still going to be out there. You lying. The grave don't leave because you told a lie. What happens to the grave just cause you lie? Nothing. I put that on everything I love. You must not love nothing cause you lying. If y'all don't hear, you will not be criticized for doing something you believe is good. For the kingdom of God, that where God reigns, is not a matter of what we eat or drink, but of living a life of goodness, peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. I got something else tweetable for you. You might want to use it. It's not about the external. It's about the eternal. It ain't about what stuff look like. It look about what's going on the inside. Because, y'all, we're going to keep making mistakes when it comes to our external lives. I'm not always going to dot the I. I'm not always going to cross the T. But I know I can live in love. I know I can live in righteousness. I know I can live by faith. I know I can improve it. I won't continue in sin that grace may abound. I know how to live for Jesus. And this church at Rome, y'all, was ready to forfeit everything off external stuff. And I want you to think right now about the people you mad at. Is it external reasons? Is it stuff? Is it about a position? Is it about, you know, a man or a woman? Is it about some stuff? Or is it about their soul? Because when you are a mature Christian, you will realize when you're dealing with somebody what their soul is like by how they talk to you. You realize they got some spiritual issues. Ain't nothing wrong with them when it comes to that. There's something wrong with their soul. If they can continue to be that cutthroat, continue to be that low down, continue to be that messy, we need to be praying for them. Ain't no sense of me fighting them back. Ain't no sense of me cutting their throat. I need to be on my knees laying out and say, Lord, have mercy on their soul. Do y'all hear me? Do y'all hear God today? It's about the eternal and not the external. It's not about how stuff look. It's about how stuff is. And when you start dealing with people in their heart, they'll change the external. You want to change somebody? You want to see a change in their life? Love them through it. And sometimes I love you enough to back off from you. I'm going to love you from a distance because you're clowning right now. And I don't want to not lose myself loving you. If I need a little time from you, you need to cool off, get away from me. Matter of fact, I'm getting away from you. But I still love you, and I'm praying to God that God will intervene, that God will speak to your mind. But I'm not going to wish anything bad on you. I'm not going to rejoice when you go through. Matter of fact, I love God, and I love you so much, I'll be one of the first people to come to you if you're ever in need, if you're ever going through, because I love Jesus. I'm concerned about the eternal and not the external. You want to know what's going to set this church on fire? Because I'm going to be honest about some stuff. I'm going to be honest. I ain't going to call name, but there's some people who only show up to see how much more y'all going to keep giving each other silent treatment. They're coming to see a show. They're coming to see just how far away you're going to sit. Come here, Stacy. But you want to really shut the devil up? Let Stacy go through something, and the same folk who saw me cut him, the same people see me come back to him. The same folk that saw us divided are the same people see us back connected and say, I'm sorry, Stacy. If you think I was wrong, I'm sorry. I know I said some stuff I shouldn't have said, but Stacy, I'm going to stand before you in front of the same people. I ain't going to find nobody new. I'm going to get the same folk that saw me and you clown. I'm going to let the same people see me and you walk together in glory and the power of God, because I'm concerned about the eternal and not the external. Here's the problem. A lot of y'all done forgave. A lot of y'all done let it go. But you caused damage because people was watching how y'all acted. People had to give audience. Had to listen to the stuff y'all did as y'all divided this church and tore up people's testimonies. And now you want to be slick and quiet and go in the back door and forgive. Because externally, you want to make it look like you still mad. But eternally, you done let it go. But I need somebody who's willing to say, I don't care what it look like no more. I love you. I forgive you. I'm free of that. Somebody help me praise God in this place. That's when you know you're growing up. That's when you'll know. Look, God been too good for me to walk around here on eggshells. Oh, I don't want to offend. Oh. Look, if I did it to you, I'm sorry, Lisa. Now, if you hold on to it, that's your fault, Lisa. But when I see you at the store, hey, Lisa, I'm not going to pretend I don't see you because you're my sister. And if I can shop with you, I can shop with you. I'll be glad when this church gets to the point that we can shop and shout together. But I ain't going to clown in public and just try to get it right in private. All these choosing lovers around here. When you really grow up, you don't care about them worldly folks seeing y'all done got back right. I'm gonna leave y'all alone. We just drop each other. Because we assume we know it's on the inside. You can take it. You a preacher. You supposed to just know how to bounce back from it. You a preacher. I can cut your throat. You supposed to be all right with that. Because I'm looking at the box. I don't understand. That's a person. I don't understand. That's a spirit. I don't understand. That's a soul. You a preacher. You supposed to know it. You'll be all right. You got to forgive me. But then when life drop you, or you assume unless somebody tell you I dropped you, now red alert, red alert. And I'm trying to get y'all to the point you stop coming here ashamed. I'm trying to help you be delivered from yourself. Your shame. Because what you clowned over and what you dropped somebody over wasn't worth you dropping them. You know why you drop stuff? Because you don't see the value to it. Because church folk just won't understand why you foolish. But you honor the club owner. They say $5 cover charge, you pay $5.50. God say give, pay your tithes and offerings. There's always something to say. Why? Because you don't see value. Because I don't care nothing about ministry, I'll drop it. Go when I feel like it. I made a vow I'm going to do it, but I got mad. I said I'm going to give God my best, but they didn't do what I said. I told God I would give it everything I got. I would sow, I would read, I would study, I would work at everybody. But one issue happened. But my job, I get cut. I get talked about. My boss. My pastor. My coworker. My sister or brother. Because you don't see value in it. It's just a box. And because we come from the same storehouse, we feel like what you got in what you got in you, they got in them. You assume that what's in their box is the same as what you got. And here's the problem. You have a machine in you. You dropping somebody that's got the plug. I don't care about y'all being mad. I'm a minister like God gave me a minister. You dropping what you need. You destroying the connection to your own blessing and deliverance.